Today's guest on Theologically Thinking is Father Athanasios Charos from Florence, South Carolina, in the Transfiguration of Our Savior Greek Orthodox Church.
You know, life is a constant learning experience. And one of the joys of learning is that when we make mistakes, we get to correct those mistakes and we get to learn from our mistakes, right? That's the joy of learning, or at least that is somebody who has a good look at life. When we have made mistakes in life, our goal should be to correct those mistakes and to live better from that. And one thing that brings that to our constant attention, those of us who are parents know that it's something that we have to guide our children in life. Right? As our children are growing up, we set for them certain expectations and certain things that they have to accomplish, certain tasks, certain chores, and sometimes our children make mistakes, and sometimes they screw those things up. And the difference sometimes between a, we'll say, a careful parent and a not-so-careful parent is how we work with our children in correcting those mistakes. And one of the important elements, maybe even the most important element, is that we have to clearly state what is expected of our children. That makes sense normally, right? If we expect our children to clean their room, and we have in our minds that that includes putting all your toys away, putting your clothes in the laundry, putting your clean clothes away from the washing machine, vacuuming your carpet, all of those things. If we have those only in our mind, and we don't express those clear instructions and expectations to our children, and they go, we go, say, now go clean your room. And they only do half of those things, and then they come back to us, and we chastise them, and we punish them. We are not going to help our children learn, are we? Now, I speak to many of you here who have already raised your children. And so you know this is true. You know that if we do not give our children what the expectation is, then when we turn around and we try and correct the behavior, there's going to be a disconnect. There's going to be some kind of something missing. And so it's very important for us as parents to be very clear on the expectations. And then on the other side of the coin, when we say now to our children, okay, if you do not clean your room, there'll be no television today. Well, there we've set a clear expectation. We've told them what it means to clean their room, and we've even given them what's going to happen if they do not do what we've asked them to do. And so they go and they pretend to clean their room, they get distracted, they're playing with their toys. 2 hours later, they come back and the room is not clean. And they say, Mom, Dad, can I watch television? Now we have to make a decision. We either enforce the expectation that we gave. I'm sorry. I told you if you do not clean your room, you cannot watch television today. Or we can let them watch TV. If we let them watch TV, what are we teaching them? Not to put any trust in the expectations that we have for them as parents. And this is not just parenting, by the way. For those of you who own a business, it's the exact same thing with your employees. Those of you who are managers, those of you who have people who have to report to you. This really is life. It's not just about parenting. And this, you know, I'm by now some of you are saying, now, Father, would you please get to the gospel? What does, see, you're laughing now. Please get to the gospel. The reality is, that is the message of the gospel. Our Lord has given us an incredible thing today, an incredible gift. He has made crystal clear how He expects us to live. We get those messages every week from His gospel, how He wants us to live. We've been talking about this for the past few weeks, right? We've been talking about Christian humility. We've been talking about judgment in terms of how we look at others versus ourselves and putting ourselves above others, the publican and the Pharisee. We've talked about repentance with, last week we talked about the inheritance and the prodigal son. Today, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about judgment. Today is Judgment Sunday in the church. Whoa, what a heavy topic is this, right? Judgment, the end of time, when Christ is going to come and He's going to judge all of us. You wanted me to get to the gospel, so here it is. This morning, our Lord gives us that special moment between a parent and a child, when He tells us the expectation of life, and then He tells us what the consequences are going to be if we do not fulfill that expectation. So let's look at it again and see what our Lord has to say this morning. First of all, this is a parable given by Christ because He was preparing His apostles and preparing His followers for the end times, the return of Christ, the end of the world, as they say. And the Lord says here, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of the angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. Now, right there, we have what to expect in the future. God is going to come on His throne, and He's going to judge us, and He's going to be surrounded by His angels. And it says, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep and from the goats. I know some of you had sheep back in the old country. Some of you even had goats. And you know that there's a difference between the sheep and the goats. The sheep follow you when they follow the instructions and they're good little and they behave themselves. And then there's the goats, the troublemakers. They follow their own path, the goats. So for those of you who have experienced real sheep and goats, and for those of you who ever go to the Diakonia Center, they have both. They have sheep and goats, and they roam around, and the goats do whatever they want to do. You really can't stop the goats, right? And so the Lord is going to separate all of the people from in the world like a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. And right there, they should be telling us something. That He's going to look at our life and ask one simple question. Did you follow My instructions? Or did you go about life doing your own thing? That's the sheep and the goats. And He goes on. He says, and the king will say to those on His right hand. Now these are the blessed ones. These are the sheep, the good guys. Come, you blessed of My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me a drink. And He goes on in all of these different ways that the righteous were serving Him. And they say to Him, but Lord, we don't remember seeing You there when we were doing these things. You see, they were doing them. But they said, we don't remember seeing You there. Help us understand what's going on here. And Christ says, whenever you do it to the least of My brethren, you do it to Me. And this is the first thing. Now, this is the expectation that God has set for us. God wants us to have faith in Him, first and foremost, right? He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us... He wants us to believe in Him as Lord and as God. But He also wants that belief in Him to somehow affect the way we live. He wants us to be able to take care of people. We remember in the Gospel of John, He asks Peter, do you love Me? Peter says, yes. He says, feed My lambs. Take care of My sheep, the Lord says. So He says to us very clearly today that the expectation of the Christian life is to take care of God's people. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give thirst to the thirsty, to visit the sick and those in prison, to basically give hope to those who are struggling. That's the expectation of life. And the Lord says, the reward for that is going to be, come and enjoy eternal life. Then He turns to the goats on His left hand. And He says, then He will say to those on His left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And He says now the opposite. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Now here again, these people are confused. Because they believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and not give you something to eat? When did we ever see you struggling in these 3 years of ministry and not help you? This is what's being said here. Not that they didn't believe in Christ, but that their belief did not somehow translate into life. Somehow they did not allow their knowledge of God to settle in to their hearts. And so the Lord says, whenever you did not do it to the least, you didn't even do it to me. And this was where, my brothers and sisters, the punishment comes. So God has made clear what the expectation is. And now He's going to tell us what's going to happen to us if we do not live the life He wants us to live. And He says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. Now again, today's topic, today's theme is the day of last judgment. But as any good parent, the Lord gives us this morning an opportunity to fix our mistakes. You see, the Lord is not here yet. He has not returned yet. So this gives us an opportunity to fix our mistakes. It gives us another chance. And that is the absolute beauty and love of God. He will give us as many chances as we need to get it right. What we're learning from this morning is that once He comes, once He returns, and as we know from other gospel lessons, we don't know when that's going to be, but then we will not have an opportunity to correct our mistakes. It will be too late. It will be too late if we wait for the return of Christ to say, oh, you mean you wanted us to feed the hungry? Oh, you wanted us to visit people who were sick? I understand now, Lord. Give me just one moment more and I'll fix that. I'm sorry, the Lord's going to say. I gave you all of those opportunities. You see, my brothers and sisters, every year we hear this gospel on the same Sunday, the third Sunday of the Triodion. So for me, my brothers and sisters, this is my 42nd chance hearing this gospel. Some of you it's less, some of you it's more. But the reality and the gift that none of us have gone yet gives us that blessing that we can take this opportunity and we can rededicate our lives to the work of Christ. And what is the work of Christ? It's not simply about feeding the poor. Feeding the poor, my brothers and sisters, is not going to get us into heaven. Now, you might be confused, because I just said we had to feed the hungry. Raise your hand if you're a little confused now. Why did I just say we have to feed the hungry, but now feeding the hungry doesn't get us into heaven? You see, my brothers and sisters, it's not just feeding the hungry. It's seeing God in them. You see, they were feeding people, but when they didn't see God, when they didn't allow their love for God to come forward from them, that's when they lost the understanding. There are plenty of people in the world who like to feed the hungry. There are plenty of people who do not believe in Jesus Christ who like to feed the hungry. But we're not talking about just a feeding program. You know, there's three reasons for us to feed the hungry. Three possibilities, I should say. Not three reasons, three possibilities. The first is that we want to feed the hungry so we don't get punished by God. That's one possibility. Right? This morning's gospel is warning us. If you don't feed the hungry, whoop, straight you're going to go. So that's one possibility, that we're going to feed the hungry because we're afraid of God. The other possibility is that we're going to feed the hungry because we want to make God so happy with us that He's going to send us the other direction. Boop, straight up. Right? So we think we're going to earn God's love by feeding the hungry. But there's a third possibility, that we're going to feed the hungry, that we want to feed the hungry, simply because we love God and we love our fellow human being. That, my brothers and sisters, is what's going to get us into heaven. Because heaven is living eternally with Jesus Christ and wanting to be there. So, my brothers and sisters, we're starting the fast tomorrow. Today is Apokryos. Today is Meat Fair Sunday. Today is the last day as Orthodox Christians that we will eat meat until Pascha. And so when we begin our fast tomorrow, we have to think of why we're doing this. What is it about fasting that the church incorporates into our calendar, and why is it connected somehow to this idea of the Last Judgment? Why is the Last Judgment Sunday the day before we start the fast? And you see, in order for us to fully understand God's love, we have to realize it's not all about us. There's something greater than our own selfish needs. And that's something that these righteous apostles knew. When the Lord says, "Come, blessed of my Father, because you've done all these things. You've helped me. You've helped my ministry. You've served me." They knew that there was something greater than themselves. Those who were condemned said, "But wait a minute, Lord. We've been watching you. We've been paying attention to you. We didn't do any of those things for you. Why are you punishing me?" Do you see the difference here? This selfishness. And one of the greatest tools that the church gives us to help us understand that it's not all about us and our wants and our needs and our desires is the gift of fasting. And I say it's a gift, it's not a burden. It's a gift to be able to spend the next 7 weeks, whatever it is, without eating meat. Not because meat is something bad for us, but because we want to let God know that we put Him first and His ministry and His teachings. Listen to what St. Paul says now. This morning we just heard it. And this is a warning for those of us who are going to begin fasting tomorrow. And I think it's directly connected with the gospel in terms of feeding the hungry. St. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, "But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat, are we the worse. So even St. Paul is telling us that this thing called fasting, which we're going to start tomorrow, is associated with food, and the gospel is associated with feeding people, but he wants us to understand it's not about the food. It is about love. It's how we love God, and how we see God in each other, and how we're willing to reach out and love each other as if we're looking directly at God. Because I would suspect that every one of us in here, if we saw God hungry, we'd bring him a sandwich. We wouldn't throw him a dollar bill. We'd bring him a sandwich. This transition of our hearts, this, my brothers and sisters, is how the Lord wants us to spend this coming Lenten season with us. If we can embrace that lesson, if we can embrace that truth of love and service to others as if we're serving God, then if by chance the Lord comes back tonight or tomorrow morning or even before I come down off this pulpit, if we have understood that in our hearts and we have turned back to Him as the prodigal son did last week, that He will restore us and He will embrace us and He will escort us into the kingdom as a full son or daughter. Have a blessed season coming. How you spend these next weeks of fasting and preparation for Pascha is all about how you want to respond to God in your lives. So as long as you don't have any physical requirements from your doctors, I encourage you to fast. If you want some help and some guidance, see me during coffee hour, call me or something, or email me, and we will discuss fasting for you. Fasting is not supposed to get us sick. I know some people have to have certain things in their diets because of their medicines and their health and that kind of thing. And fasting is not supposed to send us to the hospital. Remember, food does not commend us to God. It's about loving God, and it's about dedicating our life to Him. So He will then say to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Glory to God for all things.
You've been listening to Theologically Thinking with Father Athanasios Charos. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.